The Booth Brothers, and the Booth Brothers will be here at our church on Friday night, June the 7th, and there's a booth set up out in the foyer. If you're interested in tickets, go by and see them. I think they're $20 a ticket. There is some artists receding closer up. I think it's a little bit more. I don't know if there's any more left of those. Those are sold out, and Ron says they're sold out, but you can still get tickets to the concert. They're probably, if not the leading, one of the leading gospel groups in America. And they'll be here on Friday night. I think this is their fourth year coming here, and so we look forward to that. So if you want to encourage or invite friends or somebody you know, let them know, and you can go online on our website and also get tickets off the website. So they'll do a great job, and our brother Ron and our praise team will open that night for them to get the concert started on Friday night. That's hard to believe, but June is almost here, and June 7th is right around the corner. Let's take our Bibles today and open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Exodus, chapter 2 today. And today being Memorial, tomorrow really Memorial Day, and as we celebrate and think about this time of the year, it's always a special. You know, one of the things that I think of as a young man growing up, one of the things that I usually was engaged in or involved in from the time I was about age 9, age 10, somewhere in there, in Cub Scouts, and then later on in Boy Scouts, I went through both of them, and every Memorial Day, one of the things that we did, of the scout troops that I was involved in, is we went around to the cemeteries in the local area that we lived in, and we cleaned up the cemeteries, mowed them, trimmed them, especially all those that were veteran-related, and trimmed them, edged them, got everything ready, so it was all ready that weekend for Memorial Day. I'll never forget that growing up, and I'd oftentimes just stop and read the marker that was there of that veteran, and that was always kind of a fun thing for me. I always enjoyed doing that, and a lot of memories as I think back during that time. You know, when you think about Memorial Day is all about remembering people who died while serving, we know, in the United States Armed Services. And our world has always had, since it seems like the beginning of time, wars and rumors of wars. And I don't know that that'll ever cease before the Lord comes back. As I mentioned a moment ago when I prayed, that we right now have, 1,500 of our military that's moving in the theater of around Iran somewhere there. And so there's always seems like there's a hot spot somewhere, one or two or three somewhere in the world. And I just thank the Lord time and time again for our American military that so faithful, so hardworking, so dedicated, and many that paid the ultimate sacrifice for that. So when you think about Memorial Day, you think back even really got started. Memorial Day first started and was recognized during the time of the Civil War and so you think back through World War I, World War II, and the Korean conflict. I was born in 1951. That's about the time Korea was going on, and I had relatives that served in the Korean War. Many of my uncles served in the World War II. On my dad's father's side of the family. I remember well the Korean conflict and the Korean War and all that was going on there, and then obviously more recent is the Iraq War, Afghanistan, and that. One of the things that I had the privilege to meet was a man by the name of Leo Thorsness. You know, we have today as Memorial Day, so we recognize those that have died in service, and rightfully so, on Memorial Day. We have Veterans Day in November that will recognize all the veterans during that time. I don't know if there's a day, unless I missed or something, a day that we recognize or honor all the POWs. You know, they're a part of all that. And as I've shared with you here recently, Leo Thorsness, a good friend of mine, he was a member of our church at Eastside Baptist in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, when I pastored there. And Leo and I had a chance to hang out quite a bit, him being a pilot, and I learned how to fly at a young age, and so he was running for a U.S. Senate seat there in South Dakota, and so I would go with him in the airplane once in a while, and he and I would make the hop, skip, and jumps around the state of South Dakota as he was running against Tom Daschle at that time. And as I looked at the screen this morning, I looked up there because Leo just not long ago passed away, and he's buried there in the cemetery in Arlington. And, you know, I recently got his book, and I was reading through that. It's called, the book, if you can get it on Amazon, it's called Surviving Hell. And as I've already shared with you, he was shot down flying an F-105. He was in what was called the Wild Weasels, flying F-105s and taking out SAM missile sites in Vietnam. That was his job. Flew a mission every morning. And then sometimes if somebody couldn't go in the afternoon, some of the pilots had an option to go and take a flight in the afternoon. And Leo had signed up to take a flight in the afternoon to fill in for somebody. And that was the afternoon that his F-105 took a SAM missile straight up the jet engine. And they had split second to be able to eject and get out of there. Harry, his co-pilot, ejected. Then Leo went out at about 690 miles an hour. When you're coming out of a cockpit at 690 miles an hour, it kind of caught his legs going sideways, messed his knees up really bad coming out of the cockpit. He made it down into some treetops, cut his chute loose, and got on the ground, made it about 200 yards on two bummed up knees before the North Vietnamese was all over him, and took him as a prisoner, POW. He spent 6 years in the Hanoi Hilton. The first 3 years were literally in total solitary confinement for 3 years straight in a 6x8 cell without another human being for 3 years. And then finally he was able to move to a little bit larger area, about 42 guys in a more common area. And I guess there's about 350 prisoners, POWs, there in the Hanoi Hilton. So I want to read you one thing as we get into the message. Just kind of ties into the message here today. I'm going to preach from, the book of Exodus here and that. But Leo shared this in this one quote, and I want to share it with you. Said Samuel Johnson once said, "The prospect of death concentrates the mind wonderfully." And this was certainly true in my case. Like most people, I had skated along the surface of life, assuming that things would always be good and taking for granted the miraculous gifts that I had been granted. There was no question in that hut about what truly mattered to me, and that was when he was first taken as a prisoner, put into that 6x8 cell alone. Then right away, things began to go through your mind. So what Leo did here, and in mind, he made these, he called them like crates, and he had five key things that he put in there. You got to keep in mind, he had just ejected out of a plane at 690 miles an hour, just been captured by the North Vietnamese. Both knees are shattered, his body is beaten up, and dragged there to the Hanoi Hilton. And here's what he began to think about when they put him into that 6x8 cell. He said, there was no question in that hut, he called it a hut, about what truly mattered to me. Number one was family. Number two was faith. And number three was my friends. Family was constant, almost obsessively on my mind in those first hours. My parents, my sister, my brother, but most of all, my wife and daughter. I realized, sadly, that they too were about to become prisoners of war, trapped by my captivity. I was physically bound into my pain, so to speak. My mind was my only escape. And I built a memory room in those first hours of imprisonment. It wasn't fancy. It was a lot like the treehouse I built in our farm. He grew up in Minnesota on a farm. As a result of a seventh grader, I used the old lumber piled from behind our barn, adding a crude door and tin sheets from a torn down hen house for the roof. I sawed a few boards and put 2x4s and nailed in a couple of crude shelves. It was perfectly serviceable memory room for my mind. I used the old egg crates we kept in the barn to store my memories. Three crates were labeled. One was family, secondly was faith, and thirdly was fun. He said, soon I added another for my friends, and so much of my life involved airplanes that I finally added a fifth crate, which was flying. Underlying every memory was the worry of what my wife and daughter was thinking. Had they heard yet? Are they busy constructing memory houses too? The image of Gailey is his wife. The image of Gailey shimmered in my mind. I met her after graduating from Walnut Grove High School in the fall of 1950. Knowing I would have to put myself through college, I had enrolled in a neighboring South Dakota state in Brookings. Right after I learned that my high school strengths, sports, girls, and hunting wouldn't help me academically. After finishing a quarter at Brookings, I made a wise decision to join the military to grow up and decide what I wanted to do in life and perhaps use the GI Bill later to help on to pay for college and get some real life experience. We Midwesterners thought of military first when we were arranging our lives. My older cousin was killed in World War II. My future brother-in-laws all served in the war. One was killed in a B-17, and my brother was serving with distinction in Korea when I was serving with distinction in college. So in December of 1950, I signed up for a 4-year enlisted hitch in the United States Air Force. So on that, you know, it's fascinating to read his life story. He received the Congressional Medal of Honor in 1973 after he was released from the Hanoi Hilton. And you think about these men as they go and as they served, and many have given their life. He was fortunate to be able to return to America and return to his wife and return to his daughter. I'll never forget one day, I was just knocking on doors, and I knocked on a door one day about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man came to the door, and he was dressed in an Army outfit. His name was Barry Gerischer. So I said, I'm the pastor down the road here at the local church, Baptist church, and I was just out knocking on some doors and talking to people in the neighborhood, and I was just wondering if you had a minute to visit today. And he said, well, I just came home from lunch. He was the Army recruiter in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, captain in the United States Army. So I asked myself, I see you're in the military. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. We're standing at the door. I'm holding the screen door. He's holding the inside door. And I said, Barry, let me ask you this. So suppose you'd have died in Vietnam. He was a helicopter pilot, flew missions in Vietnam. I said, let me ask you this. What if you'd never made it home? And what if you'd have died there in Vietnam flying those helicopters? And he stood there, and then all of a sudden he started crying. I said, are you all right? He said, come on in. So I stepped in the house in the living room. He had just come home from lunch. We were only there a short time. And so I asked him, I said, well, Barry, let me ask you again. So what if you had died in Vietnam? Where do you think, are you prepared for heaven? And he said, I should have died there. I said, I should have never made it home. He said, I should have died. My buddies, a lot of them never made it home from Vietnam. He flew helicopters on mission runs there. And one mission run that Barry was on, they come under heavy enemy fire and bullets, he said, just riddled the cockpit cross and crisscross. He was flying the left seat in the helicopter. And his buddy sitting in the right seat just got riddled with bullets that splattered blood all over the cockpit. And the thing began to smoke and come under fire, and he could still keep it in the air, but barely. He managed to get it back to the base and set it down, and then just froze. And the cockpit was just a total disaster. He kept saying to me as he was kind of crying that day, he said, I should have never lived. He said, I should have never made it home. He said, I should have died right there in that place. He said, so many good men gave their very lives for the price of freedom. And I said, well, Barry, God has something else in store for you. I don't know what that is. But I said, the main thing is to make sure if you do die, whether it's in Vietnam or here, that you're prepared for eternity. So again, have you ever received Jesus Christ into your heart and trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior? He said, no, I've never done that. And I said, would you be willing to do that? And he said, absolutely, I would. So he and I, Captain of the United States Army, got down on our knees, and I led him to Christ, and he prayed and received Christ as his Savior. Then later on that afternoon, his wife came home. We led her to Christ and his two children to Christ, and I baptized all four of them. So you think about the military and the men that have served. I think one of the hardest parts is for the men that never, that never died and never gave and paid the ultimate price. When you think about this, my brother-in-law served in the United States Marine Corps. And to the day he died, until I preached his funeral, he had flashbacks to Vietnam. He was in the United States Marine Corps on heavy fighting on the front lines in Vietnam. And again, Vince would always say, he said, I should have never come home. He said, I should have died there, and had problems many, many years after that. And so you think the price of freedom comes high. And the cost of freedom and liberties around the world has been paid by tremendous prices and by people that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And you know, when you think about this in bondage and freedom, let's go to, if you will, to the book of Exodus chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading in chapter 2 and verse 23. That here we find the nation of Israel, they also had lived in bondage. They had also lived in 400 years of bondage down here in Egypt. And so we find the text, I titled the message today, just really freedom. And when you think about here in Genesis 2 and verse 23 to Genesis 3 and verse 15, let's begin reading in relation to the nation of Israel. So Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, in verse 20, 21, and Moses was content to dwell with with the man. He gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. That word bondage there, if you think about it, were they living in bondage and living in slavery and living in a foreign country? And notice in verse 24, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And now Moses kept, in chapter 3, verse 1, the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen their oppression, the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. And when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said, Moreover, unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Think about that in here in that last verse, in verse 15. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I think it would do us well to make sure, when you look at the nation of Israel and see here, that every time Israel got into trouble was when they turned their back against God, when they turned their back and sinned, and when they went against the ways and the things of the Lord, and they followed evil, they followed other nations, they followed other things that were corrupt, and they would get off track, and then God would have to bring judgment upon the nation of Israel and bring them to the point where they would repent of that and come and turn back to God. I would like to see, nobody likes war. War is if you've ever talked to a veteran that has served on the front lines or served in the heat of the battle, it is a horrible, wretched thing. And you know, I've listened to men describe what it was like at Normandy when they invaded the beaches and they come from the ocean, they began to swarm in there by the thousands. And the men that died, knowing that their chances of what they were running into the hottest and the most deadliest of battles. And the bravery that these people showed. And so the thing I find interesting, and the same principle is true, that we need to look here, that God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The main thing we can do during this Memorial Day and this time of the year is, and for our military and for the chaplains and for all those that serve, is that we keep God at the center of all that we do. And then we pray for our military, and we pray for those that go into battle. We pray for the bravery of those that are willing to go and to serve, men and women alike around the world. Those in Iraq, those in Afghanistan, and now we see, I pray that nothing comes out of it, but we now got 15 soldiers, men and women, moving in the theater because of the issue with Iran. Pray that nothing will ever get started there, that the battles will never heat up. But the main thing is we just need to pray and seek God's face and to seek His will and His plan. Israel here sighed by reason of their bondage. It's what the Bible says here. They cried, and they cried came unto God because of their bondage. I don't know, but I would like to think or like to believe that the people of Iran would like to be set free from the bondage and the evil and the wickedness that comes out of that terrorist country. The people of Iran would love to have freedom. The people of Iran would love to have, I think, other choices. You go around the world, whether you're going to Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever you're going, there's a lot of places in the world that does not have the freedoms and the privileges that you and I enjoy today. The main thing is I think we keep God at the center, but you look at the center of our lives, the center of our military, and the center of all that we do. Thank God that we know that we have a president that is sensitive to that and a commander-in-chief of knowing the risk of sending men and women into a theater of war. So here Israel sighed by reason of bondage. You never know. I really would like to believe that there are people inside of Iran crying out for freedom, crying out for liberties, crying out for, it's been a hotbed of terrorism for how many years now? And then when you look at it here, their cry, maybe because of God's prayers, and we'll see how the Lord unfolds and how things begin to unfold. But here in the scripture, Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, by reason of what they were being held. And so God sent them a deliverer. The deliverer here was Moses. And the deliverer here and said here, you notice Moses in preparation for this, I find it interesting that Moses was really just minding his own business on the backside of the desert and serving the Lord, staying busy, minding his own business, keeping the flock and the family. And then Moses leads the flock to the backside of the desert. There in verse 2, do you notice this in verse 2? The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Oftentimes you find that people, sometimes we end up on the backside of the desert for God to be able to speak to us. And here God spoke to Moses, and Moses now turns to God and looks for his Redeemer. And you think about that. How many times have men probably sitting in a foxhole, or women, if you will, now because of our military allowing men and women to fight in that. Somebody sitting in a foxhole and thinking about life and thinking about, you know, here it was. You know what was interesting about Leo Thorsis? Usually when you get 100 missions in, he was flying the F-105, as I mentioned. When you get 100 missions in, the military will let you come home and consider your service done for the country. Leo had just finished his 92nd mission and getting ready to fly his 93rd mission when he took that missile up that jet engine in that F-105. He was 7 missions from coming home to his family. And you think about that, you know, Leo and I used to talk about that and say, well, you know, God had a plan and God had a purpose. I don't think I've ever been around anybody that has been more positive, more upbeat, more energetic. And he said, Rick has said, it's a frame of mind. He said, your body is battered and bruised and beaten and it's all tore up. He said, you got to keep the mind strong. And that's where he went back to the mind part of it here for Leo. It was all about his family. Thinking about it, the most important asset that you and I have is our family. He said, I had to think about my wife and my daughter. And he said, so I made these little compartments in my life. And he said, it was just really in my mind. I spent hours, days and months and 3 years in solitary confinement. And he said, those 5 blocks is what helped me keep my sanity. Thinking about my family. And then he says, secondly, talking about my faith. Faith, he grew up on a farm in Minnesota and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and love the Lord. And so his faith became really, really important to me. He told me, he said, you know, when we finally did get out of solitary confinement, prior to that, the only way they could communicate was through Morse code, tapping on the wall that would go to the man next to you and tapping out whatever it was, and that man would send it on to the man next to them. For 3 years, that's the only source of communication they had. Morse code. And then finally, when they were able to get together, after 3 years, they were able to pull them together, they said that that's when you really began to appreciate all the years that you went to church, all the Bible verses that you were able to learn, all the songs that you were able to set under, because he said, now we were allowed to begin to have a church service, but nobody had song books, nobody had Bibles, nobody had nothing. So the only thing we had, what was stored in the memory of our minds. So this man remembered a little bit from the Bible in this area, and another man remembered a little bit from the Bible in this area, and somebody would take a song from this area and somebody a song, and they would pull that together and worship God out in the open in front of the North Vietnamese guards and all the people that were there. A testimony for the cause of Christ. Faith was important to him. And then fun. I used to talk to Leo about this. I said, fun? How can that be anything fun? He said, believe me. He said, you got to find a way to entertain yourself and a way to occupy yourself and a way to look at the bright side, the light side of life. Fun. I still kind of struggle with that. And then friends. You know, I can really understand it. I can really get it and see how people make lifelong friends when you're in the trenches, when you're in the foxholes, when you have a brotherhood of brothers or whatever fighting through the same cause and the same battles. Friends. And then flying, the greatest military in all the world. And so we find here, when you go and you even look here, if you will, the afflictions that took place while on the backside of the desert here, God reminded us who he is. Kind of like Leo used to say, he said, that's when you learn a greater appreciation of who God is and the importance of the Bible and the importance of the red, white, and blue and the flag. I even remember him talking about that in the common area, when they were released out in the common area, the one guy, the one prisoner there, found a little bit of fabric that had a little bit of red in it. Another little bit of fabric that had a little bit of white in it. Another little bit of fabric from something that he took and had a little bit of blue in it. What do you think he did with it? Went back to that cell and made it a little American flag, the red, white, and blue, and that they so proudly worn until the North Vietnamese found it, and then they took it away from them. So it's important, yes, the flag and the importance of that flag and the afflictions that they went through. And so God was teaching them. And look, if you will, in verse 7 here, even in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the afflictions of life. And the Lord said here, he said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. If our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and our God never changes, then, my friend, he sees your affliction. He sees the struggles of life that you go through. He knows what sorrows it is that you and I go through. And our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that was true for Moses here in Exodus chapter 3, if that's true for a POW prisoner of war, he knows their affliction. He knows their sorrows. He knows what they're going through. He knows what you're going through. God sees our affliction and God hears our cries unto him, and God knows our sorrows. And so it's important to understand here, just as he answered Moses, he also can answer you and I in our times of affliction and sorrow. There is no sorrow too great or going on in your life that God does not already know about. Whatever affliction or whatever struggle you're going through, not everybody's going to be a POW. Not everybody's going to go through an extreme. But whatever the sorrow is, whatever the struggle is, whatever the affliction is in your life, God knows all about that. God knows every affliction. God knows everything. And when you get here to verse 8, it's interesting. I love this verse in verse 8. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So God now has come and he's going to deliver Israel out of there. And he says in verse 9, our cries have been heard by God. So we should cry unto the Lord and ask God and to help us in the time of an affliction or the time of sorrow, whatever the oppression is. You know, it's interesting here in this text, though, that they began to make excuses for not turning to God. In verse 11, Moses said unto God, well, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? That's the king of Egypt. And that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he says, certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. And when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You know, it's really interesting here, and what you find interesting is Israel, they're in Egypt because of their sin and their disobedience to God. And a lot of times the struggles and the afflictions and the heartaches in life are because of a sin nature or things that we've disobeyed God and we've gotten off track. And so God allows, if you will, permits. You know, I often think of even in times like the affliction of these men and women that have been prisoners of war and go through that. Why, God? Why do they have to go through that? Why? What is the reason? Why? You know, when you go through, and I talked with Chris Putman. Chris has gone through right now, just finished a stem cell transplant or whatever, gone through that, and now recovering from trying to get his white cell count back. And Chris, he'll say to me, if he hadn't said it once, he said it 100 times already. It is what it is. He said, I can't change it. It is what it is every day. He said, I just got to trust the Lord and figure out what to go on. So whatever your affliction is, whatever your sorrow, whatever your heartache, whatever your struggle is, think about this. A sovereign God allows or permits or puts that into our lives or allows it to be there for a reason and for a purpose. Our job is not to complain. Our job is not to criticize. Our job is to say, why me, God? And that many could say that along the way. And so that's really what Moses was saying here. He was saying, who am I? You know, and so, but God promised, he said this. He said, I will be with thee, and remember that I have sent you to do this very task. And so then the excuse, what is his name? He goes on to say here in verse 12, he says, certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. And then God says here in verse 14, he goes down and he says, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. All for this and freedom. And so when you think about it here, this is my name and it is God. And you think about the opportunity to share your faith wherever you're at. And that whether it's in a prison cell or whether it's in a neighborhood or whether, you know, we got Friend Day coming up next Sunday. That's an opportunity for you and I to reach out to whoever we run in contact with. And invite somebody to church that doesn't go to church. Invite a lost person to come and reach out to them and to realize an opportunity to share the gospel. And so here in verse 15, this is my memorial unto all generations. God said to Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, he, God, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So what is his name? They sought for the relevancy of who Yahweh was in relation to the circumstances of life. So easy to look at the circumstances of life and to be able to say what's going on or around us or whatever. God, why me? And why is this happening? And what about so-and-so? And why is life doesn't seem to be fair? God just simply says, I am who I am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so down through the ages, God still exists. He's eternal. I am the one who is and who will be, and that you and I learn to trust him. And so we find on this Memorial Day today, as we think about this, simply, I am has sent me. And so to think about whatever you're going through, whatever sorrow, whatever affliction, whatever trial, whatever struggle, God is God. He is there. He'll always be there. He knows exactly what it is that you're going through in life, no matter where you're at as a parent, as a grandparent, and whatever affliction, sorrow, heartache, pain, or struggle, God knows all about that. But don't lose sight of the fact that we should cry out unto him. And here Israel cried out unto the Lord year after year after year. They were in bondage 400 years. And they cried out unto the Lord. And not until a certain time came, then God was able to raise up Moses and said, okay, enough is enough. And he's going to lead them out of bondage and into freedom. Freedom. I'll tell you what, freedom is an amazing thing. And today we ought to be thankful that we have freedoms and liberties that we have, and never to take that for granted, and to realize that God is God, and we live in the greatest, I agree with Brother Ron, that this is the greatest nation in all the world, and we have freedoms and liberties, and we ought never to take that for granted. And you talk to any military person that's ever been in a struggle like that, and they'll thank God time and time again that God is on the throne, and he knows, and he cares, and we need to pray for our military. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows your struggle. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. He knew it and here in Egypt in Exodus chapter 3. He knew it in a 6x8 cell in Hanoi at the Hanoi Hilton with a man by Leo Thorsness and 350 others that were there. You know, it's an amazing thing. Leo used to tell me, he said, you would be surprised what you can, you'd be surprised what the human body can go through. And the human mind can go through if you'll focus your mind and your heart on God and then keep yourself strong and in the Lord and trust God through the hardest and the most difficult of times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. And God, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty. We thank you for these things that we do not take lightly. We do not take for granted. We thank you for the hundreds and thousands and however many that have gone through and paid the price this Memorial Day weekend that we can have the freedoms and liberties that we have here today. That, God, has been paid for with a tremendous price. And so, God, we're eternally grateful to those that have gone before and been able to keep and paid the price to keep America free and the liberties that we have. But God, most of all today, I think of another man that died and gave his life on the cross of Calvary, was obedient unto death, that we too could have freedom in Christ, and that we too could have the promise and the hope of eternal life. And so God, it's our prayer today, if there's anyone here that has not yet experienced the freedom of Christ, and the freedom of believing in the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus, God, today, that they would open their heart and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior today, realizing that He paid the supreme sacrifice that we could have eternal life, that we could have freedom, that we could have liberty in Christ today. So God, whatever our afflictions are, whatever our sorrow is, whatever our pain is, whatever our struggle is, God, it's only temporary. And may we keep our eyes upon you, that you are God, and you never change. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and will always be. And we love you today, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, if you will, today. And I want to give a verse of invitation today. My friend, if you came here on this Memorial Day weekend, you've not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've not yet made that commitment to Him, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to trust Christ as your Savior. If you got somebody in the military today, somebody serving around the world somewhere, be a good opportunity. Make sure you pray for them and lift them up to the Lord in prayer. And whatever God lays on your heart today, if you want to come and pray at an old-fashioned altar, we invite you to come as Brother Ron leads us today.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord.
Praying at the altar today. You know, I think of a man like Job and what Job went through as he prayed day in and day out. Whatever the bondage, whatever the struggle, whatever the part of life, I'm sure Job prayed unto the Lord, God, remove this affliction, remove this struggle, remove this. And God never, he chose not to do that. And Job went through some unbelievable things in Scripture, finally at the end to be blessed of the Lord and God honor him. And Job's comment was, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I used to ask Leo, I said, didn't you ever feel like just giving up Didn't you just feel like throwing in the towel and quitting? Didn't you get discouraged? He said, oh, that might run through your thing. He said, but you got to control your mind. You got to be strong in your mind, and you just got to keep moving forward for the cause, for the right cause, and keep yourself positive in all things. So my friend, if you're going through difficult circumstances in life today or struggle in life, try to stay positive. Try to think of God and put Him and cry out unto Him and lift your heart unto Him. And Lord, I don't understand what it is I'm going through, but God, you're still God and you're still on the throne, and I'm still going to trust you. Brother Ron sings one more verse, if you would. If you want to come to pray, or somebody you want to pray for, now's a good opportunity to do that today.
I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is in vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
You may be seated, and just continue to pray for these. Trust you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Just want to share a few announcements with you. And one is we have many volunteers in our church that serve in a lot of different ministries. And we thought it would be good as we, on June the 2nd, we want to do a luncheon or whatever that I know Brother Billy Cox has a lot of walleye that he's got. And so we're going to have a luncheon. We want to recognize and honor our volunteers. We have close to 100 volunteers in the church that work in different ministries and things along the way. So next Sunday on Friend Day, right after the morning service, over in the gym side, the Sprockman Family Life Center, if you work in any ministry of the church and in that serving volunteer, there's a sign-up sheet. We need to make sure we have a pretty close head count. And so there's going to be walleye. I know some may not like walleye. So there's a box you can check on there for chicken. We'll get chicken or whatever if you don't like walleye. And we'll pray for you that God will change your heart and you will soon like walleye. And but it's really good. Billy does a good job cooking the walleye, really. And we'll have some other stuff over there. There'll be potatoes and salads and dessert and all that. But we just want to, and also the number of years of service. And we were talking about this the other day, and somebody was talking about Sandy Hilton. And I don't think she's in here. She's probably over in the nursery. And no, she's not here. But anyway, has served here in our church 44 years. And so I think it's good. So we want to take a moment next Sunday on Friend Day. We'll just recognize many that have worked, whatever ministry you've worked in, how many number of years, put that on there. And we want to try to firm up the head count. So we really do need to get your name on there for the number of people so we can firm that up this week. And that way Billy knows how much fish, we know how much chicken to get, and our paid staff, all this, we'll take care of setting everything up and getting everything organized over there. We don't want the volunteers to do anything. So it'll be a fun time right after the morning service next week. And then next week is Friend Day. It'll end our 10-week Sunday school campaign, so being Friend Day, I hope you take time to look around and invite somebody that you want to invite, that somebody that doesn't go to church or somebody that's lost, maybe that you work with or a neighbor or whatever, just reach out and invite them. And there's some invitation things there in the bulletin. And invite them, say, hey, why don't you come and go along to church with us next Sunday? And so reach out to somebody, give them a personal invitation, and invite them to be here on Friend Day next Sunday. And then the Booth Brothers. Brother, you do a much better job than I do. Anything you want to add on the Booth Brothers? We're coming down to the home, the concert.
Oh, you talking to me?
Yep, you.
Oh, sorry.
You, yeah. He promotes it much better than I can. He knows these guys and talked to Michael Booth this week. So what do you want to say about
them? They're great. They're going to be here on June the 7th. They are an incredible group, incredible men, wonderful men of the Lord. Me and Michael talk quite a bit via text message, and they told me this is one of their top five places that they go every year. Wow. They love coming here. They love the way the crowd, comes and applauds for them. But yet more than that, they love the Spirit of the Lord that they feel every time they come. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time.
Amen. So they're going to be right here in your own church. So I encourage you, they're $20 a ticket. And that, go by and get your ticket and come on that Friday night, June the 7th. So, and then Vacation Bible School. You're going to talk about Vacation Bible School and children's ministry? Come on, brother. Brother Adam. And while he's coming, too, on your calendar, if you can keep open, July the 7th, we're going to ordain Brother Adam into the ministry that night. And it'll be on Sunday night, July the 7th. And I'm looking forward to it. Hope they're looking forward to it. We got some guests there. I got family coming up from Texas. Is going to be here for that. Brother Greg Hayward is going to come over for it. Brother Andrew Hayward, pastor in Mansfield, Texas, is going to fly up for it. Brother Bud's going to come down. And so an ordination service for a young man going into the ministry is a highlight. And we look forward to that. So I hope you'll be here for that. He's going to talk about Vacation Bible School and children's ministry. It's great. Hey, brother.
I just want to give you a little bit of update. Well, that'll help. Okay, so VBS is going to be June 24th to the 28th from 9 o'clock in the morning till noon. I encourage all families, if you have kids, if you know kids, invite them, bring them. We will have transportation available also. It is for kindergarten through fifth grade, so that is going to be the age limit. Also, we have two sign-up sheets out on the desk out there. We have one for helpers. We need lots of helpers. We need people who can teach. We need people who don't mind passing out cookies. We need people who don't mind being crowd control, okay? And preferably if you like kids, we need that kind of help, okay? Also, we have a sign-up sheet for the children to sign up on. So if you want to go out there and put your kid's name down, even if you think, well, they might come, go ahead and put them down so that way we know how many specific teachers we need and all of that stuff. So, like I said, June 24th through the 28th, from 9 till noon, we're looking forward to it. The theme this year is going to be Yeehaw, so it should be a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right, last Wednesday night, Awana officially ended, and so I want to thank Barb Allison and the Roses and Peter and Janet and Pauline Thorsness, and I'll probably miss somebody else. Who else is your Awana workers? Well, if you're an Awana worker, stand up. Y'all stand up all over the camera, whoever's your Awana workers that are in here. Yeah, give them a hand. So I appreciate that. So Awana officially ended last Wednesday night. And Barb and Pauline and Janet and Pam Pierce, they're going to continue a children's ministry on Wednesday night. So thank you. You may be seated. And they're going to continue a children's ministry on Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday night. That'll run through the summer. So if you you want to get into Brother Tacy's class or ours or whatever, and you have children, go ahead and bring them. There'll be children's ministry and program on Wednesday night through the summer months. So I just wanted to pass that along and be here this Wednesday night. So we look forward to this week. Trust you have a great Memorial Day. Let's stand together. And if you're traveling somewhere, travel safe. And I trust you enjoy the holiday. With the holiday, there's no service. Dale, can I impose on you one more time, you and Janet? Come on up here and have him dismiss in prayer. They're getting ready to head. They're going to go to Las Vegas. You have one son or two out there? Two. Both the sons are out there in Las Vegas. So they're going to Las Vegas to see their sons, and then they're going to jump on a plane, and it's about, what did you say, 28 hours back to New Zealand? And that, so they're going to be headed back to New Zealand, and they've been home with family. Come on over. And I've been home with Brother Dale's visiting his dad and Janet's mom. Great to have you guys home. We love you too and appreciate you. And I don't know if you want to say anything, but lead us in prayer and we'll be dismissed. So it's good having you home. We'll be praying for you going back to New Zealand.
Appreciate that, Pastor Rick. Always good to be in our home church. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Our great God in heaven, we want to thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity that we've had this morning to be in this place to worship you. And Lord, especially on this Memorial Day weekend, Lord, our hearts and minds are directed toward those who sacrificed so much to give us this freedom. I pray, God, that we'll never take this for granted. We thank you for the freedom that we have to come here and worship and to lift you up and to magnify you. And we pray that that happened this morning, God, that you've been lifted up, magnified, honored, and glorified. We love you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.